it's kind of a hardball weekend. And I'm speaking of the president being struck down by this virus, although I don't want to say struck down, but he come down with it, and so many others, and in government, and in his circle. And it kind of blew me away. I don't know about anybody else, but it kind of was, I guess you can't be surprised, because, I know the enemy wants to
wipe us out.
You know, it's from the enemy, this thing. And it just, I just took me by surprise, and I don't know how to think about that, how to think about it. How the Lord is going to use it, or how he, out of it, I know one thing, I pray that glory comes to him.
Amen.
Glory comes to him, and I know the name of the Lord Jesus is more powerful than this virus, although you may say, hey, well, yeah, but look at the people that's taken, look at this. Well, you look through history, and there's always been a plague. Always been something brought on people by the enemy, by Satan, period, you know. And so I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It tells us we got to be always alert. We always got to be praying. We got to be in tune with him and into the word. And we got to be on our toes, especially those who are called by his name, called by the name of Jesus. And so it kind of angers me that the president is hit by this. Because I don't know. I don't know how to express myself in that manner, but I'm little. I am angry and surprised at the same time as he is hit by this, but and his wife and other senators, especially on the Judiciary Committee, who were scheduled to meet and to, you know, discuss and go through the confirmation hearings with the new Supreme Court Justice appointee. And so it'll be interesting, to say the least, the next week or 2 weeks. Plus we have the election. How's that affect the election? Anyway, I know one thing. I am glad that the Lord God is on the throne.
Amen.
And mankind, us, we're looking down here and there and surprised. Like me, I'm surprised. I'm disappointed. Don't know quite what to make of things, but nothing catches him by surprise.
Amen.
He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. Yeah. He's not surprised by this, and I'm sure, like I said before, I believe he's already, my wife and I were talking about that, and those Christians in the United States, I'll bet millions of us were praying for the president. I hope everybody was.
In the march in Washington.
Yeah, the march in Washington, that was an awesome thing. But I just felt good knowing that millions of Christians no doubt were praying for the president, lifting him up, his wife, and other members of his circle, advisors, and so forth, senators. I can think of three senators that tested positive for this thing this week. And anyway, we just, I'm just happy that the Lord, I feel, is going to use this as a turnaround, that the enemy is going to regret laying this on the president. Because the Lord God raises up leaders and brings them down. Yep. And I think he's bringing down the president? No, I don't. I think he's just, you know, maybe it's a little lesson for the president, a little lesson in humility. humility or something. I'm just saying, just guessing here, but maybe it's a time so he can just, maybe it's the only way he can slow him down a little bit, to take stock of what, how, listen to the Lord, hear the word of the Lord in his heart, mind, and spirit. There's so many different things, but the Lord will be victorious.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
I think he'll come out with glory. Glory to the Lord through this thing. And we'll look back and say, only the Lord could have worked it out that way. You know, this is amazing. We see kind of gloom and doom sometimes, but later on, like, wow, that was awesome. I can't believe the Lord did that. I should have known better. He is good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Father, we just, we are grateful. We are thankful that you are on the throne. Nothing catches you by surprise. You are the mighty God. You never change. You know the beginning from the end and everything in between, and that is the thing that we can stand on, and we are so grateful and thankful for. Father, we lift up your holy name in the name of Jesus. We lift up Jesus, the name above all names, to the glory of the Father in heaven. And Father, we right now, if I may, I bring our president, his wife, and associates before you, Lord God. And I ask you to just give all the doctors wisdom and direction in treating him. And I ask you to speak to the president in the quiet times. I ask that the president take advantage of the slowdown in his schedule, that he listen, that you have his ear, mighty God, and that he listen to you only in Jesus' name. That I pray for healing, quick recovery for the president, his wife, and his inner circle there, and the senators that come down. I pray, Father God, that this thing get wiped out so quickly people will be amazed, Lord God. I ask that these medicines, that you would anoint them, Lord God, that they're giving him, that they would have just the effect that only you would have it affect him in a positive and a healthy way, Lord God. There'll be no side effects to these things, Lord God, and that you would bring him through, bring his wife through, and all these inner circle, bring him through stronger than ever, Father God. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord God, and we just bring this service before you, Lord God, and it is for you. It is about you. It is your holy day, and we're thankful for it, Lord God. You said do not forsake the gathering of the saints, and that's what we're here for. We are here gathering to honor you, to worship you, Lord God, and we just thank you. We thank you for this privilege to do this, and we just praise you and honor you in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's...
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like you to turn to Psalms 142. Psalms 142. A plea for relief from our persecutors. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him and declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way which I walk. They have secretly set a snare before me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. Your righteousness shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, that you're opening up ears to hear and eyes to see. And Father, with all the things that are going on in the world, we will keep our eyes on you. And Father, we will stay on your path. And you will guide us and you will direct us. And even when the enemy is all around, Father, we know that we belong to you, Lord. And Father, we can trust in you, that our faith can go stronger in you, Lord God, because we do trust. And Father, I claim right now that your mighty hand is upon everyone that is listening, everyone that is here. And Father, I pray right now, Father, that your word go out powerfully. I ask for the anointing to fall upon this word, Lord God, and what is not to be said will not be said. And Father, we give you all glory, and we give you all honor, and we give you all praise, Father, for you are in control, just as Joe prayed. You know, we're taken by surprise all the time. But Father, when we are born again, when we know who we are in you, Father, we can trust in you. We can have faith in you, Father, that you're going to take us through. So, Father, I claim that right now, and I decree that in the heavenlies as well as here on earth, and we seal it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I kind of want to review for a minute for people that maybe haven't been tuned in. I've been talking about Nehemiah, and so I'll give you a little while to find Nehemiah. But it's powerful. So it's really is a great message for leadership. It is also a great message of what happened back then for us today. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, we found out that Nehemiah prayed and fasted. And that is what the Lord is calling many of us to, is that we should daily be praying and lifting up his name and coming in his presence. And, you know, sometimes it's, I'll talk about my own body. Sometimes the body wants to do a certain thing, your mind wants to do a certain thing. And so when we fast, it's not to lose weight. We fast because we want to get closer to him. We want to draw closer to him. We want to humble ourselves and see what he has to say for us. That's chapter 1. That was powerful in itself. In chapter 2, we talked about getting in position. The churches, or the church, is asleep. And the Holy Spirit is telling the church to wake up, to get before him, to start hearing from him, seeing with spiritual eyes, and moving out. And when we come into his presence, what happens is he gives us strategies. And for some people, he speaks to them in a small, still voice. For me, he talks real loud because I do what I want to do most of the time. So the Lord has to slow me down, tune me in, and spend time with him. So he speaks to each one of us differently. But the Bible does talk about a small, still voice. The third thing we read about in Nehemiah chapter 3 is that he gives strategies at the gates. Now what that means is that he tells most of the enemy is at the gate to the entrance of wherever. And so when he gives us strategies, he tells us how to use that, how to pray, what's the root cause. And then we go forth in it. And the big thing that the gals that I have been praying with and doing things with, one of the things that we feel is there needs to be unity. There needs to be people that come together. There needs to be people that come together and pray. I'm not interested in that you bring your denomination. There's no denominations in heaven. Don't want to hurt your feelings, but there isn't. And what the Lord is asking for is that when we know who we are, that we belong to him, whether you're male, female, whether you're young, whether you're old, whatever, you need to come together in his presence. And sometimes some of us just have to zip our mouth and listen to Him, and we can pray. Just pray. I really believe this is a big time for prayer right now. And as a couple of the gals came over last night, I said to them, you know, I'm telling you right now, it's like sometimes you get so busy. And what the Lord is trying to do is for us to come into His presence, for us to pray. He has a plan, and don't you ever think that God's not in control, because He's in control.
Amen.
He is always in control, and this has never taken Him by surprise at all. The other thing that we learned about in chapter 3 is that no one is greater than someone else. And we learned that the wealthy, as well as the poor, if I can put it that way, they work together to get the project, to get the wall done. They didn't say, I'm the pastor of the church. I don't have to do that. You know, Karen, you do it. And Karen goes, no, I don't want to do it because, you know, hey, I'm the director of the music. And, you know, it's like you could have this battle going on. And if we would be all honest with each other, there's a battle that is constantly going on, because Satan wants to break up churches, break up people, break up friendships. And one of the things that I learned is that you have to work together. And no one is better than someone else. Maybe the Lord blessed someone a little bit different. But there's so much jealousy, there's so much competition. And I don't know if that really happens in the guy world, but in the girl world, it happens all the time. Someone's jealous about this, or, you know, wants to speak a little louder, or, hey, look at me, or whatever. And you know, I don't see it as much in the guy world, but I don't know. But it always seems like women have to remind themselves that we're all equal. We're all important to the Lord. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, he talked about when we face fear, what do we do? There's a lot of fear out there right now. And I really believe in my heart that that's one of Satan's strategies. But our strategy as godly people is that we are supposed to be in prayer. We're not to have that fear. We have to know that whatever the Lord's called us to do, He's prepared us for that. He's anointed us for that, and He'll protect us.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
He'll protect you if you walk out in Him and you do exactly what He wants you to do. And in chapter 5, which I really did spend some time, and so thankful about that, is conflict within. Sometimes things can happen within a church that actually causes a split. And it's because leadership and people don't want to listen and talk it out. It's very, very, very important that when this comes about, that you resolve those conflicts. And there are certain people that are set in position by God. And those are the people you should go to. So, for example, we had a gentleman that came and saw Joe and I and asked if we did some form of counseling that he wanted. And we answered him. And so he knew who to go to. Sometimes you could go to the wrong person, and that person can set you on the wrong path because you've listened to someone who's not from the Father. And I'm really picky about that. And I know sometimes when people can't reach Joe and I for whatever reason, I know they'll call Vicki. Or they'll say, well, I want to try to get a hold of Vicki. You know, because they know that she prays, and that is how people feel about her, and we're aware of that. And so I'm just trying to tell you that if you're a person that gossips, if you're a person, you know, like, you ever gone to someone and they tell your whole story before, and you really trusted someone to tell your story? I just remember there was a very good friend of mine, and she had come down with cancer, and I can say it now. And she wanted to keep it real hushed up because she didn't know they'd fire her. So, and she was getting weak, and all these things were happening. She was losing her hair, and unbelievable things. But when she'd come to me in confidence and we prayed about it, that's one thing I never said anything. I just kept that between her and me. And it's very important because I really feel that. I really feel that that causes a lot of dissension. So in chapter 5, you have to know biblical principles and who to go to. Does that make sense? I think it's powerful. And today, I want to talk about lesson 6. And lesson 6, or chapter 6, verses 1 through 19, which of course we can't do all 19 verses. But I think what is really important is that you have to learn discernment. This is the time where the Lord will tell you certain things to do, certain things not to do, and certain friends to go to, and certain friends not to go to. And I think that's wise counseling. I believe the Holy Spirit is a wise counselor. And sometimes you just have to say, no. I learned that. It's not a natural thing because I'm a person who wants to do this, wants to do that, wants to help that person. And I've had to learn a discipline, and that discipline was, no, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to do that. Or certain friends, I was sharing this with someone at the conference that we had, that sometimes the Lord would place different people in your life for a season. They're not there on a permanent basis, but sometimes they're there for a season. And the other thing that we're going to read a little bit more is that when you pray, it stops rumors. And we did something last year with the kids that were here. And what we did was we said something to one of the kids and then had them pass it on through this whole line. And what happened is when it got to the end, that isn't what was said at all. So it was a real good teaching that sometimes we think that we've heard the total story of it and repeat that. And in chapter 6, what Nehemiah learned was that he couldn't do that. Does it make sense? Am I making sense? I hope so. So rumors, one way that you stop rumors is to pray. Now, we got this Facebook thing here, and I'm so thankful they cut that TikTok garbage. But I'm just telling you right now that, how can I say it? It's like the first thing kids do, they don't go to prayer. They're on their Facebook, or, you know, they're on their Snapchat, or whatever. And so what we've tried to tell kids, even when they were here, is sometimes you just need to pray about that. And sometimes you just need that time to be by yourself. I do that even being married to my husband as many years as we have. I say, you know, Joe, I'm just going into the bedroom and I'm closing myself away. You know, I'm sure the early time of our marriage you'd think, oh, what did I do? Satan's going to let him have guilt. Do you know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's like you have to shut yourself away and spend time with the Lord so that you can hear from him. Mm-hmm. And it's important. And anyways, chapter 6, I think will help us with that. And I want to encourage everyone, I really believe in prayer walks. And I know, I think it was last year, I'm not really for sure, we did a prayer walk up and down. We just prayed to ourselves, huh?
2 years ago.
And we prayed up and down this road here, and different things that were not of God, those people moved out. It had nothing to do with us. We just prayed. We just obeyed the Lord and prayed. And I really feel in my heart, since we're going to do this Rise Up Warrior Bride, we're coming against strongholds. We're coming against different things that are in people's lives. So I want to ask everyone to please be praying. Please be praying for our speakers. Please be praying that the Holy Spirit will just hover over in this room and all over the grounds. And so I would like to suggest that I just chose the date from the Lord. I'd like to do a prayer walk, walking the land, and I'd like to do it next Tuesday. I just really have felt that. I don't know what the date is of that. But I feel that. What are you saying, Joe?
The
13th. Oh, did I put it in here? Oh, gosh. See, half the time, this is not my forte. And since we don't have an administrator, Vicki was our first one. Diane's had a different job. She still comes back and forth here at church, but she got a job more than what we could pay her. And this was her forte. And it's like, you gotta be kidding me, Lord. And so, you know, I try to do a bulletin every Sunday, getting out of my comfort zone, which I don't need something else. And so anyways, I did put down the prayer time. Where did I write this? Oh, up at the top. We would like to do a prayer walk around the grounds and our church October 13th, and which is a Tuesday. So if you can be a part of us, great. If not, pray where you're working at. Pray where you're at. Pray and lift it up. But I just really felt that in the spirit, and so I forgot to put it in the bulletin. So this chapter here, chapter 6, is talking about resisting Satan's scheme. So last night, I don't know what time it was. What time did we go to bed, Joe? About 11:30, something like that, give or take. And the Lord told me to get on my Facebook. I had no idea. I have tons of stuff on my Facebook. And so I just hit my button for Facebook, the icon or app or whatever people call it today. And I hit it, and on there was Bill Johnson. And I had a hard time, you know, I don't know about you guys getting on YouTube, there's flickering, there's all kinds of things going on in the airwaves, or people are telling me they can't get on the internet, all kinds of things. I couldn't even find where we record at. I'm recording this just on Facebook and not right on our web. And it was just like, you know, what is going on? And Bill Johnson talked about that there's a lot going on in the atmosphere. And I thought, wow, Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to hear that. I want it to encourage you. So at first I was laying in bed, kind of holding the phone like this. Putting the phone. You ever do this? got the phone up and let it fall back down. The Lord said, put it on the table and just listen. And I did. And it was amazing because he talked about the enemy. He talked about faith. He talked about having ears to hear. And it was so powerful because I thought, wow, that's what I've been preaching on. And so it encouraged me to know that I was tuned into the Lord. Are you kind of with me on that? And so it was so powerful of a message. And it was just talking about the enemy that is all around us, but the trust and having faith. Some people do have faith. But we have to trust God greater now than we ever have.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's just like, I don't mean it the wrong way, but it just seems like Satan's attacking this person or attacking that person or attacking that person. And you know, it's kind of like, I love what Joel said, was he got ticked off. You know, when whatever this COVID thing was, this demonic thing, this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, you know, attacked our president because people were praying. So Satan's working a little overtime here because he knows his time is short. So what I loved about what Bill Johnson had to say, and I'm just not breaking out a person because I really felt that he heard this from the Lord, because he said this. You know, I didn't want to talk about this. But the Lord said, I want you to talk about it because it's for someone. So when I hear something like that, I know it's a stirring of the Holy Spirit. And so listening to him, he just talked about how Satan was stirring and all the different things that were going on. But when we know who we are, we can come against those things. But we have to really trust in the Lord. And the only way that you can trust in the Lord is to spend time with him. And I thought, thank you, Lord, and I'm going to say that to the people. So I want to encourage you. You can go to that on YouTube. I don't know what the exact title was, but it had to do with resisting Satan's schemes. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I just felt like I've been really listening to this man, and I just really feel like he's really tuned in, and he's listening. And, you know, you feel like that sometimes when the Lord prepares a message, and you go, oh, you know, I don't want to say that. We do things like that. Like, Lord, couldn't you just let me skip that part or whatever, you know? But, you know, when you have a message from the Lord, you give it. And it's kind of like I told the gals that came over late last night for prayer. I said, you only have to give what the Lord told you to give. You're not accountable for how they receive it. Give it. If you know it's from the Lord, give it. And so I want to encourage us for someone today. But what I wrote down here is Americans have had to live under the threat ever since September 11th. I was still teaching school at the time, and to my amazement, you know, I remember the attacks that came. I don't know how many computers were going on. The lab held 36 people, and the TV screens went all over, and I thought, what are you kids watching? And it was for real. So what the Lord showed me last night, where there are things that are happening fast. There are things that are going on. So if you haven't gotten in His presence, and you haven't gotten yourself prepared, and you haven't prayed, and however I can say it, is that the Holy Spirit said things are happening suddenly, and you got to be prepared all the time, ready to go. And I really feel that this conference that's going to go on, that I want male and female here for a purpose, because male and female is very important. Young and old is important if we're in the army of the Lord. And we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And we're really not. So we hear about, back then we heard about all kinds of attacks and shopping malls, sporting events. You know, you heard different prophets that made comments about, you know, what was going on. As far back as that. And it still hasn't changed any today. And it's kind of like, even when I got a chance to speak at this Woman of Influence conference, I spoke about how God has got a plan, but we have to keep our eyes on Him. The enemy is really stirring. And I also wrote down here today, it is difficult and frustrating for our government even to fight the enemy. There are people in government that are really trying to fight this enemy. And I also wrote down here, because the enemy is not visible. It's not a person. It's the spirits that are within them. Mm-hmm. And so there are lots of evil things that are out there. So I want to read a little bit, because I love reading the Word. I get so excited about reading the Word. I know everybody doesn't, but I do. But what I also put down here is that He's expecting us in Ephesians 6:11, that we put on the full armor of God. And if you come to this conference that I'm talking about, one of the gals is going to be talking on Saturday, is going to be talking about the armor of God, but in detail. And as I was writing this, I was sitting there thinking about a picture Vicki had that she always liked, and it showed the warrior, and he was in flames, and he had all of his armor on, and I thought that was so cool. And when we have the fire of God in the inside of us and the outside of Him, you know, it's like you can tackle everything. He gives you that power and that authority. So I was sitting there thinking as I wrote this down about that armor. And our enemy uses deception, trickery, and other schemes to try to destroy what God is showing. So when you get in His presence and the Lord tells you something, you need to know it's from the Father above. And if you've been here and you've been a part of the Bible study, we've talked about how Satan can be the light as well. You know, we always say, you know, Jesus is the light. Well, don't be fooled. Satan is a light too. So some people, if they don't keep their eyes on the Lord, is what's going to happen is they're going to be deceived and go the wrong way. The promise that we have is that we're going to be able to be pulled back in time. I believe that. I've had things in front of me. I'll think, oh my gosh, how did I ever get in this mess? And the Lord takes me and helps me drift all the way back where I'm supposed to be. But sometimes we want to do certain things because we think it's right, but some things are not of God.
Amen.
Sometimes we're just pulled by a friend or or whatever, Satan himself or whoever he's using, to get in situations that we have no business being in. I don't care if you're male or female or not. You need to hear this, is that you can be drawn in the wrong camp. You have to be in the right camp. And everything that I'm trying to teach you can be backed up in the Word. So when you're in a church and you can't find it in the Word, I've got to question it. I'd be running right out the door. One of the things I remember, one of the gals that was speaking, she was a speaker, and she was using the reference of the Passion Bible, the New Living whatever. She was talking about the New King James, different things she was referring to. So afterwards, this one, she was just a sweetheart, a godly woman, came up and she goes, "How can you refer to all these different Bibles as if it's just one Bible?" She was never taught in her church that you can read the King James or the New King James, but the Passion Bible helps with the language. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes there are, it's still the Bible, it's all the same, they just use different words. They explain it a little bit different. And I love to explain that to people. And so anyway, she was questioning this, and the lady showed her, you know, by holding out. It was kind of hilarious. You knew it had to be God, because every one of us had something. Someone had the New King James, someone had the Living Bible, and you know, you could put it all out and you could see that it was still the same word. It was just simplifying it. And this person who spoke loved the Passion Bible because it gave like the emotional part to the word. I don't know if I could say that that way, but excuse me. But anyways, I want you to know that the Lord expects us to finish our course. And every one of us have value. Every one of us in this place right now, I've said this over and over again, I said it even last night, the Lord has something for all of us to do. But you know, Nehemiah chapter 4, if I can go back, there were terrible, violent threats against him. And he had to stand his ground. And some of us are learning that. Whether a sickness has come upon us or whatever, we have to know how to stand our ground. And then one of the other things is, you know, he was almost done in chapter 5 with getting the wall repaired, and he didn't have the gates on. Now, what did I tell you? The enemy's at the gates. So sometimes the Lord might give you a project to do, and you might have, for a lack of words, you know, like different attacks coming at you. Especially before you finish something. But the Lord says, keep your eyes on him and finish that project. Are you hearing me this morning? Okay. And I put down here that, and I want to read that. Keep hearing that from the Lord. Chapter 6. It says, "Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, Jessam the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and if there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors of the gate." Verse 2. "Sanballat and Jessam said to me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono, O-N-O, Ono.' But they thought to do me harm." Verse 3. "So I sent a messenger to them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. And why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?'" Verse 4. "But they sent me this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me, as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand." Verse 6, "In it was written, 'The Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, quote, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king that is there now. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. So, nice little letter. Verse 8. Then I sent to him, saying, no such thing as you saying are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Verse 9. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, quote, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not get done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Verse 10. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of, I'm sorry, I don't know that name, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Now, what I really want you to hear is this. Sometimes when you decide to do a project for the Lord, seems like there might be an attack no matter how much you pray. These people were from within. So sometimes they will try to get you to hear them or do something different. If I may give you an example, I remember our second tent revival we did. I'm very picky to follow the Lord the best I can. And someone came up and said, well, I think you should do this, or I think you should do it this way, or I think whatever, okay? And what I've learned is that person really wanted to cause me not to do what the Lord wanted me to do. It wasn't that they really had good advice. It was that they felt their opinion was more important than mine. But mine, it wasn't my opinion. Mine came from God. So sometimes the Lord will send someone who's been praying to pray for you. And when something goes on that is not of God, when you bring it back to the house of God, you're in His presence. Every person that is in here is in the presence of God. And so when you're in His presence, the enemy can't have any grounds whatsoever to do what it wants to do. Isn't that powerful? So in this chapter, what I wanted to bring out is that there are many breaches in the walls. And it can be the walls from outside, or it can be the walls from inside. So when you receive something from the Lord, you stick with it no matter what you think or what someone else thinks. It's so important. And I've had to learn to try to be tactful in saying, thank you for your opinion. I really appreciate it. I take it before the Lord. Whereas any other time I'd say, I don't want to hear it. You see, the Lord lets you sweeten up a little bit. And He's allowed me to sweeten up a little bit in my old age. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you know, sometimes when you really, the enemy does come in that way and has many schemes. And the Lord, what I heard from the Lord is this. In 6, 1 through 4 that I just read, it says you have to stay firm and you have to keep those priorities. And the second thing that he told me is that I thought it was interesting that Nehemiah had to say no to, oh no. Some people pronounce it ono. But isn't that amazing? Because I said, Lord, was it just the name that kind of triggered him not to go, oh no, to go visit with these people? And this, I asked this from the Lord, and the Lord said that if you really understood where that border was, where this place was located at, the enemy was all around you. So sometimes you can get really close to the borders of where the enemy camps and the Lord still protects you. Is that not powerful? I love that. And I really think the other part was a letter. I've had that happen so many times. Someone type up a letter, send me a letter, stamp it, do things like that and say, well, I know this is of the Lord. And you go, I don't even know who that person is. Or, haven't you had that happen in your life before? Come on. So I think what is really important to understand here is that four times Nehemiah had to turn down that invitation. Four times. You know, usually after a couple of times we get in. Haven't we done that before?
Yeah.
You know, something comes, no, I'm not going, no, I'm not talking to that doctor, no, I'm not doing this. And we give up. I mean, we do. We kind of like, I don't know the right word. But, you know, we kind of go, oh, well, what's it going to hurt? But if you know it's not of God, don't do it. Four times. What a lesson that is. And I also wrote down here is that Satan targets leaders. He targets you. I told you last year I had a lot of attacks. I still go through with my leg and still in lots of pain. And I just go to the Lord and I say, you know what, this ain't fair. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm taking a stand. You know, you have to do that. You have to know who you are and take a stand. And I love that because if you don't do that, the deception comes. And sometimes it does sound good. It appeals to us. It looks great. Hey, it's on church stationery or whatever. You have to know the enemy knows those little weak places within you, and that's what he targets. And I think that it's really also important that you don't compromise the Word of God. The Word is the Word. Study it out. Don't compromise that. The other thing that I put down here as well is that Satan is restlessly persistent in his scheme. If you think that Satan's going to give up, you're wrong. He's always tempting. He's always doing this. Four times. And I think what is really important is that we are persistent, as I said, that we stand firm. That's not easy. It sounds so, it's easy for me to say it, you guys. But to stand firm when a storm is happening, a crisis is happening, you don't see certain things, you have to stand back and go, he's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. You know, you have to be able to take that stand. And I also believe that everything that you do, should glorify our Heavenly Father. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do. So I always tell people, God is not looking for perfection. If you want to get up here and sing, you know, and your heart was really in it, I'd say go for it. Because it just says make a joyful noise. Isn't that powerful? And he's the one who will perfect you. I think it's powerful, people. The other thing I put down here was about the rumors. Hey, I'm telling you, that happens all the time. And the more you get in leadership, the more it's going to happen. That's why it is so important for you to know who you are. And when the Lord gives you a plan, you go for it, no matter what the rumors are. And the other thing that I put down here is it said that Nehemiah resisted Satan's innuendos with the truth and prayer. I think if you could learn anything right now, it is the truth. What is the truth? You know, most of us don't want to hear the truth. We're always blaming Satan for this or Satan for that. But you know what? Some of us allow the Holy Spirit to give you the truth. What's right and what's wrong. Let's see. But I think that standing firm, I got quite a few pages on that. I don't want to get into all that. And I think that the Lord helps you with the fear. Hey, you guys, this is for someone today. Fear can eat you up. When you get bad news, even from a doctor, fear can just eat you up because Satan wants to kill you. He's not your friend. Don't ever think he is. And you know what, truthfully?
the Bible talks more about Satan's beauty than Jesus'. I thought, oh, you know, I remember my grandpa preaching that, and what I remembered the most was this. Satan is so handsome. Do you ever notice how people look on the outside of people? They don't look on their hearts. You see, he deceives in that way too.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Come on, I'll show you this, or I'll show you that. He sows that deception. He frightens us. But I'm telling you, in all my years, even when I've done something wrong or disobeyed God or whatever, I don't beat myself up about it. What I've learned is I just take it to the cross, I take it to the Lord and say, you know, I really blew that. Please forgive me, or I repent of that, and I move on. That's for someone in here. I don't know who it is. But all I hear is that we don't come to God because we got it all together. We really don't. We come to him because he wants to, the Holy Spirit wants to help us and change us and make us more like God.
Amen.
And anyways, I just wanted you to, the other thing in chapter 6, which I really didn't get into, is in verse 6:12, it said, Nehemiah didn't perceive until this point that God had not sent Shemaiah, but that Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So sometimes the Lord, or even someone close to you, might bring someone along to kind of change your mind. But maybe God never sent that person. I'm hearing you. You have to be able to discern that person if they should be where they're at. And I know it's hard, and I wish I had more time to dwell on this, but I really feel in my heart that when God gives you something by the Holy Spirit, you're to be in obedience. Sometimes you don't even know how it's going to work out. But the more obedient that you are, the more you refuse that counsel of Satan, the Lord will lift you up and put you on the right path. Isn't that powerful? I remember, I don't exactly know the year, but when the Lord had woke me up about his paths, the way he takes us. And so I remember hauling all these trees from our church, and we were at a convention center, and I put all these trees and made a path, and made one path real wide and another path real skinny. And the pastor had said, oh my gosh, you're taking all the trees from church? I said, I got to. I just have to. Because you see, when you start at the path that the Lord has for you to do, both paths look good. They do. At the entrance, they look great. But it says in the Word of God that you have to take the narrow path. Because in the wider path, which is great, there's more of the enemy that is there to take your life. So it's always the narrow path. So I remember doing this demonstration for people. And I said, well, which path do you want to go? And they said, oh, I want this one. Because it had fruit trees. I grew up fruit trees. I had water there. I had all kinds of things. And over on this side over here, the smaller narrow path, and mud piles. It was just terrible. There was trash all over on the path. But that was the path that the Lord wanted you to take, because it wasn't narrow. He would take care of you. So when you wanted a drink, you didn't have to drink that muddy water bottle. You could just call on him and he provided the water. I think it's pretty powerful to know that. And you know, one of the things is we're supposed to be fearless, we're supposed to be full of prayer, and we're supposed to be fasting for what purpose? And the purpose is for victory. Everything was done on the cross, people, everything. So we're to have the victory and to finish the wall, to finish what's in our life that's not right. The Lord wants us to finish our job.
finish what he wants us to do. So this is really a model for us, chapter 6, is that we have to trust in the Lord, keep our eye on him, be obedient, and really Satan's already lost the battle. What rank are you in? Who are you listening to? What leader are you following? Are you following the Word? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to get inside of you? Are you spending time with him? These are really things that the Lord is trying to tell us, and don't compromise with the world. It looks good. I remember my dad saying that to me. Maybe this is kind of off the wall, but I remember I'd meet this guy and he'd be such a knockout. Wow. He could do things I couldn't do. He was handsome. He had this charisma about him. And I said, you know, Dad, I'm going to go out with so-and-so. He goes, I don't think so. I'd say, "But hey, Dad, you know, he's this, and he's got this job, and he's got this, and all that." My dad would say, "Nope, I don't think so." I said, "Dad, aren't you being really nasty and, you know, not giving this guy a fair chance? And, you know, you do all this defending." We all did that. And my dad would say to me, "No, I want to sit down and I want to talk to you about something else." My dad would sit down and talk with me and show me a better way, or maybe a different person. So are you hearing me today? Are you hearing from the Holy Spirit today? You have to really know the Lord, the Father. He is your Abba Father. He is the Father that you can go to when everything is falling apart. 1 John 2:15. And I love that. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world, but love the Father. And that's how I'm going to conclude it today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to seal this word. I know it's sealed in your word, but I'm asking you that it will be sealed upon the people. And, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're showing us. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.